coming. I'm excited to be able to introduce my brother. It feels like I haven't seen him in a long time. We've been so busy, but I appreciate Jose and the desire that he has to be able to let the Lord lead him in his life and to be able to share that with others. And so this morning I pray that I would ask that you would pray and lift him up in this message that the Lord has put upon his heart. And with that, I give you our brother, Jose Galva.
Thank you for those kind words. Thank you so much. Good morning to all of you. Every time I stand before you, I feel like I'm melting, falling apart. That first song that we sing, is you know, you have to know how to read music. Because I don't know about where I was. It was low, high, or that's pretty interesting. But it's something that you can learn. I'm sure. I'm not a very good singer myself. That's why when my sister Michelle asked me if I wanted to sing in the choral, it was hard for me to say yes or no. I had to stand beside somebody, Brother Aaron or. So I can follow. I'm pretty bad. It's been a long month, not a long week. It's like May. It's like the beginning of summertime, and in my work, normally by now it's kind of quiet, but it's been pretty busy, and it's good because I know summer is coming, and for sure, business drops. Everywhere, I guess, but weekends, we get pretty good, crazy weekends. Lots of people, lots of good deals. So keep that in mind. Just kidding. Just got back from, I was able, we had the opportunity, me and my family, to go on vacations, and my whole sermon is not going to be about my vacations. But it was a cruise. We took a cruise, and the picture that you see right here in my computer is the view from our balcony, from our room, and it was the back. So I was in the back of the ship, so I was able to see like pretty much everything. Most of the time, and a lot of the times, I step outside just to see if I can see like something popping up from the water, a whale, or a shark, or something, a dolphin. I didn't get to see anything. So it's funny because probably I was not the only one that was feeling the same way. In one of the shows, one person asked the same question, why is it that we don't are able to see like sea animals or, you know? And the guy gave us a pretty good explanation. He said that they usually when they see something that big coming around, they just kind of stay away for sure, and they swim under the ship. So they are down there. So they are around us, but they just don't go above us because, you know, the noises or the size of the ship, I don't know. It's just almost like the same way when we go mountain biking, we don't get to see rattlesnakes in the road. On the trail, because they feel the either you hiking or mountain biking, they feel the vibration of you coming in, so they move away. And probably that's why they say stay on the trail, because if you go off the trail, you'll be dealing with them, right? And it's not a really good feeling. I experienced that once already. I rode over two of them, and they freaked me out. It was not really good feeling going over snakes. But now my wife's not going to let me go mountain biking. But anyway, looking at these waters, you don't see land. It made me think about it, about the creation, how everything began. I mean, it's just miles and miles and miles. I had binoculars, And I was just kind of looking around just to see if I can see anything, and there was nothing to see. It was just so, so boring. And now it's so dark and blue skies. That's the beautiful part right there. But it's just water. It's water. I don't know if I'm right, but they said that it's 75% water in the whole world, or I don't know if I'm right. I didn't make that far to unschool. But it's for sure it's more water than land. And so it made me think about Genesis, when God created the world. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about Genesis. I'm going to spend a lot of time on Genesis. So I have 13 slides. Hopefully this doesn't take long. Being on vacations and being so busy at work, it can throw you out on everything. It's just like you go in some type of mood you don't feel like doing anything. You're still like on the vacation mood, lazy, and you just want to eat. I'm kind of snapping out of that slowly, but I'm still kind of feeling like I'm, when I don't do anything, when I just sit around, I feel like kind of worthless. And that's how I feel a little bit right now, because it's like I still not full back in real life, you can say that. And so I'm going to start with the scripture in Genesis. And this time I make sure that my letters are kind of big, because last time I couldn't even read it. And so in Genesis 1:9, 9-10. It says, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. You know, so you ask a question. Everything that God made, he ended up with, is all good, and it's true. I mean, we should believe that it's good, because he does not make any mistakes. Everything that he made, it is good, and we are the ones that make the changes. We are the ones that decide to go our ways and to do our things when God has put commandments to follow. We do try to do our best, for sure, but we still do our own things. Of course, we do acknowledge that, you know, when we do things in life for whatever reason, we do come to him and ask him for direction, guidance. We ask him for for blessings. We pray to him. And so that's the one thing that, you know, God says, you know, if it comes from your mouth, you know, he hears you. As you know, when somebody asks for a blessing, It's so good. It pleases God. It pleases God, and it feels good in your heart, and it feels good to the person you're asking, you know, to pray for you. It's something that it brings happiness in our heart. What it is, what is it? I think it's a spirit touching your heart, spirit touching our hearts, and we all kind of are the same feeling, the same page, the same beliefs, and so it comforts us. And that's how, I believe that's how we comfort ourselves. We lift ourselves up. You know, everything that God made is good. We just have to follow up with it and to the best of our ability that we may be able to please God. And so what happened when God created everything, you know, he gave our forefathers commandments, what not to do, what to do in the garden when he made the garden. And so we all know that story. There's nothing new that you haven't heard. So we're going to talk a little bit about the beginning, the garden, and the fallen man. And so I'm going to read my notes here. I say, you know, a lot of the times we don't know where the garden is, where how can it's not visible to us now. It's everything beginning in the Middle East. So for a lot of people, they've been looking for this garden, or, you know, like people want to find out if this is all true. So they're looking for the garden, they're looking for the for things that witness what the Bible says, the towns and all those things. You know, we still have doubts, even that we are, call ourselves Christians and believers in Christ. We still have doubts, and we're not 100% sure if all this is true. And so that's why we have archaeologists going everywhere. Oh, yeah, we find this. Oh, yeah, it is true. Or maybe. So it's the same thing. You know, people still looking for the garden. And probably for what they can see is in somewhere in Iraq. What's it called? Mesopotamia. Consider all locations, all the locations we have looked at. We can safely locate where the garden is of Eden existing. The most common location for the garden in Eden will be in Mesopotamia, and which is today Iraq. And so the primary reason is to mention why they think it's there is because the rivers, the dry rivers, they're still there. And so they still can see the rivers from, like, the, you know, satellite. They still can see the rivers coming down, because the Bible says that from the garden came four rivers. And right now, I think there's only two that are still running. But what is it that, you know, you ask a question, why is it that God hide the garden being such a, you know, big place? Full of trees and animals. My friend that I met and at work from Israel, he sends me his rides that he does on his bike over in Israel. And for what I can see, I've never been in Israel myself, but it's so green. It's so green. La desert too, but where he is or around Israel, so it's pretty green. Like I said, I've never been there, but for what I can see, so I think that's amazing. That would be something cool, you know, to be in Israel and see for yourself the things that you have real all your life through these books, you know, through the Book of Mormon and the Bible. And so but at this point, no one knows where the garden is. Archaeologists won't be able to find it. And, you know, most of the time, archaeologists, the only way they are able to find wherever places are or wherever they're looking or whether they conquer or is because they leave something behind. If you think about it, the garden, you know, Adam and Eve, they were naked. They never owned any clothes. They never built any pots or pottery or houses, or they don't have anything like that. So what are they looking for? I mean, at this point, they haven't found anything that is a proof that they existed. So that's pretty interesting, because to be honest, I mean, or what we read, yeah, Adam and Eve, they had nothing. When the sin, where the God there. So we'll get there right now. I was looking for some pictures of what a garden could look like, and this is like one of the best ones. And it's I don't know if it had like the perfectly pot like that, a pad like that, and flowers on the side, but I'm assuming it was really nice and green because everything that God made, it was so good for the men to eat and to live of it. So I'm assuming it was really nice. So that made me think about it. Why is the Adam went the way he went? He went. So when God formed the man, everything it was good. But even back then, from the beginning, so this is what the books are teaching us, the word of God, the sin, it was from the beginning. It was from the beginning. And so he started working from the beginning to make us fall. And he did it. He convinced them of the things in a way they look good. It looked good the way he said it. And so in Genesis 2:16-17, it says, and the Lord God command man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. Mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. That sounds pretty understandable to me. But we are just like, what did I say? That I was saying, like the cat, we always wondering what will happen if I do this, if I touch that. We just want to know. And that's how, that's our, what's the word? That's just how we are. That's our natural. We don't just sit there. I mean, you know, my wife had a hard time with Didi because every time she would tell her to do something, she would say, why? Don't say why, just do it. You know, it drives people crazy. Just do it. But we want to know why. And it's good. It's okay. We want an explanation, you know. If a bear is about to eat you, hey, move from there. There's a bear coming to you. Why? I mean, it's a bear coming to you. You got to move. You got to listen. God told him not to eat of that tree. And I think this is scripture that said you can even look at it. But then it made me think about it, about the tree that our brother Lehi saw. It was good, that the fruit was good, and it was sweet and white and so desirable. I bet this tree was the same thing. But in this case, God from his own mouth and lips told Adam, don't eat of that tree. The tree are good and evil. Okay, so it's good or it's evil. So it's like a between, it's a window, it's a gap. Should I go there? Should I go this way? I want to try it, you know. It might be good or it might be evil. So to find out, they ate it. You know, you just ask this, you know, just think of those things. And so the man was Adam was already blessed. He didn't have need on anything else. He was already, God has blessed him already. He had everything and anything to eat. Probably even the temperature, it was just perfect because he was naked. He was not even cold or hot, surrounded by water. I mean, everything was good. It was perfect. And so when sin came in, everything changed. Everything changed. And so in Genesis 2, chapter 2, 19 to 20, it says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them into Adam to see what he will call them. And whatsoever Adam called everything, every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was no found a help meet for him. So he was pretty busy guy. He was pretty busy guy. He was, you know, besides all the goodies that God has made for him, he gave him work to do. So he was busy guy. Give them names to the cows, the chickens, the eagles, the rats, the scorpions, who knows? Who knows? And how did she choose all those names? We don't know, because there was no eyewitness. There was no eyewitness there to see all this. Only God. Only God. So what we're reading here is God's eyewitness, because there was just Adam. Then came Eve. And so in Genesis 3, 4, 6, that's when the sin came. And the serpent say unto the woman, you should not surely die, for God do know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you should be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know, it made me think about it, that before you come to Christ, before you become Christian, before you you start reading your Bible, probably we're doing the evil thing left and right, not realize what we're doing because we are blind. And when we start reading the truth, our eyes are open. You know, another thing is when Christ was about to be accused, he walked away quite a few times through the people that they're trying to arrest him, and they could, because his time has not come yet. And another scripture, I don't know if it's in 2 Kings, 1 Kings, God blind a whole army of Syrians and took them to some other place and give them food and water to eat. And the Syrians were so confused. They don't know what happened, how they got there. God can close our eyes for whatever reason, but he will give us the understanding of when your eyes are open of the truth. The truth that he told us, that truth will make us free, of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. And when the woman saw the tree that was good for food and that was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and give also unto her husband with her, and he did eat it too. So the tree and the fruit, it looked good for them. And, you know, remember the words that Satan gave them, you know, told them. It didn't sound bad either. You know, it's not that you're going to die. You're going to become like God. You need to know everything as God knows everything. And so that's a pretty good trick. And in these days, we can be tricked pretty easy ourselves too. And we have. We have been tricked many times. As we are not here, but as we are outside in the world. It's either with materialistic things, things that we desire, we just don't never have enough. We always craving more things. It's just like in the cruise, you know. It was easy for me to wake up and I want a coffee, I want to eat. I just go up there in the middle of the night or in the morning or late, and just coffee and food everywhere. And so I just serve myself and I start eating there for no reason. I was not even hungry. I do like coffee. I love coffee. But what could happen if I do that every day for the rest of my life? There will be consequences. Adam and Eve got what they want. an intimate knowledge of both good and evil. But they got it by disobeying God. And the results were, it was a mess. After that, everything, it went down. And so God says that he really, for true, freedom comes with obedience and knowing what not to do. The restrictions he gives us are for our own good, helping us to avoid evil. Sometimes, a lot of times, I can even understand my own notes. But he loves you, he loves me, he loves everyone. And so after this, all that he was focused is to bring us back. Adam did not obey him. And through the Bible, you can see that he gave commandments and people did not obey him. And so obedience is what he's looking for. It's what he wants of us. It's what please him. Obedience will take us a long way. And that's why I love Brother Gary reads a lot of the book from Proverbs. He loves Proverbs. If you read the book of Proverbs, you have a good life. Because it's all about warnings, you know, about desires. Do this, don't do that. And you'd be okay. But just by me, you know, being up there and now being here, my life has changed. Everything is good for me. I have no complaints. I have no complaints, really. I was telling Rebecca this morning, when is Father's Day? Oh, it's 2 weeks. I'm like, oh, I said three, no, it's in June or July or somewhere there. What do you want? I don't want anything. I have everything. Oh, yeah, right. You're going to be crying if you don't say you know what you want. So for me saying, I don't want anything, please. but really, I've been so blessed in general. I'm standing here before you. I'm not sick. Count your blessings. We are surrounded by blessings. I mean, it's so bad when you're driving around and you see all these people living in the street. What, you know, it just goes through my mind. What went wrong that you are in the street? How far did you went that you end up in that situation? What is it that you did? It's they're blind. They're blind. They don't know their way. They're looking maybe for the way, but they're just, life is full of ways. And before the Pope died, he said that the way to God is just comes in different ways. And there's a lot of religions, other religions, there's a way to God. Probably, you know, anything that has to do with God, I agree, yes. But we still have to follow what, you know, what the commandments said. And clearly says that Jesus Christ is the same today, tomorrow, and forever. He is the same. And the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. It's not through other saints, obedience, doing good things, good deeds. That's not a way to God. You have to come to Jesus Christ because only through him. In John 10, that's my favorite verse, in John chapter, it says that he is the good shepherd. And if you jump over the wall, you won't get too far. You have to go by the door. He is the keeper of the door. And That means that only through Jesus Christ you can get to heaven, to his kingdom. Don't forget that. The tricker, the liar, what would you call him? He's working constantly, left and right. He's shooting you with darts. And he's not going to stop, because that's his way, his plan to deceive you. And he deceived our parents from the beginning. So it's a war. We have a war. Every day we are fighting. In Genesis 3:16, so I don't know if this makes sense. Was the woman cursed when she died? She did what she did. And to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply the sorrows in that conception and thy conception. Well, that will be something that I don't know what it's like. In sorrows thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be thy husband. Okay, that's a good thing right there. And he shall rule over thee. That's even better. No, just kidding. That's kidding. That came from God. That was his words. So God didn't say it. Jose didn't say it. What caught my eye here is I have gone through pain from my kidney stones, and I don't know how to describe that pain. But I learned a word just now, agony. That's the name of that agony. It's a pain that is like so deep you don't know what to do, and you just have to take it like a man. It's pretty painful. And I heard that when a woman is giving birth, it's almost the same. And so I feel that for you. Now, was she cursed when God told her these things? You know, even through the pains that she went through, it was a good thing that without even notice, you know, who knows what was the plan before the day ate of the tree, because God hasn't told them the plan. What was going to be like in their lives in the future? This is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to, what's going to happen. I mean, the plan was just to stay in the tree, in the garden for the rest of their life. So when they did that, and God got mad at them, he threw them out of the garden. Adam and Eve learned by painful experience that God is holy and he hates sin. So he punishes us according to what we deserve. The rest of the book of Genesis recounts painful stories of lives ruined. It's a result of the fall. God is always willing to forgive us and to restore our relationship with him when we admit our sin. You know, the Book of Mormon teaches a lot that we have to repent of our sins. Otherwise, there's no salvation. That is the first step. We have to repent and acknowledge that we do our as sinners. We are sinners. Without, in those days, you know, when women would give birth to kids, there was no medicine, no doctors, and no hospital. So the pain is described as an agony pain. And so that's how is my feelings with the rocks on my kidneys. And Isaiah explains a little bit how this pain was. In 13:8, and chapter 10, verse 8. And they should be afraid. Pangs and sorrows should take hold of them. And they should be in pain as a woman they travel. They should be amazed one to another. Their faces should be as flames. And Isaiah 21:3, therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me as the pangs of a woman that traveled. I was bound down as the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. So it was pretty painful. These things, they happen if the God said they will happen to her. But the one thing that I want to focus here is the all those consequences that they went through. From all that came a blessing. Disobedience has consequence. Genesis 3, 1 to 5. Now the serpent was more subtile, am I saying it right? Than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yeah, God said you should not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you should not eat of it, neither should touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you should not surely die, but for God do know, for in that day you eat, therefore, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. The consequence of the first sin, it was that you die spiritual. Not physical. That's the thing that the serpent, Satan, forgot to let them know. Of course, he was not going to tell them. We still have a time in our life when we face death. But from the very first moment that she took a bite of whatever that fruit was, she died. Spiritually, she died. Spiritual death is often linked to various negative consequences, including a loss of connection with God, difficulty in recognizing and appreciating God's grace, and a tendency to follow worldly desires rather than spiritual ones. It's the same as today. We follow other things that looks good in our eyes, and that's how we get in trouble. We sin just by looking. We sin. Our life is full of desires, is full of sin. So we are fighting constantly, also. As Satan is fighting also, trying to win us, throwing us all these good things in front of us that look good in our eyes. In the Book of Mormon, it says he says that he's not a devil. Everything's good. Everything's good in Zion. And there's no devil because there's never been a devil. You can drink, you can do anything, do whatever you want, because you will die tomorrow, and God will only give you everything will be okay. He will let you in into his kingdom. Is that what it really is? Although if that was, that would be easy. That would be easy. So just live your life wherever you want to live it. After all, you will still be safe. That's one of the ways that the people today in churches teach that it's okay to do those things. And at the end, you should be good. You should be safe. Believe They teach the believers as that's it. Believe in God. But there's other steps to follow. You have to make a promise. Otherwise, you know, in the old days, they used to sacrifice animals for their repentance of sins. But their life never changed. And that's why God sent his only son to be the ultimate sacrifice. No more sacrifices of any kind, because one it's been done once already. For all, for everything, forever. There's no need to do any more sacrifice. What God requires about you, the sacrifice, what he says is the a broken heart and contrite spirit. That's all he wants for you. And of course, obedience too. Obedience is a big, something that's a big play. So curse turns into a blessing, Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground, for the sake and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. So that right there, that's when he discovered work. You had to work for your sustenance. He had everything in the garden. He didn't have to do much. Everything was there. Everything was good. God don't make mistakes. We change ourselves. When God make you just perfect. But of course, in these days, people not even happy with their own selves. And here comes cosmetics, plastic surgeries, and all those things, because you're not happy with yourself. When God said everything is good, he made everything good. So curse turns into a blessing. Here, why is it that God throw them out, kick them out? Because they committed their sin. They broke the rules that he put on them. But at the same time, it's a blessing. It's like that right now something is coming to our minds that you want to do, even that is contrary to God's plans. But we see it in a different way. This what happens. It was a blessing. Just like Eve. But now you are experiencing the better taste, the better taste has left in your life. Once is because we disobeyed, and we will never be in God's approval if we disobey. It was good, but it was not enough. So when God threw them out, it also become a blessing, because he told the woman, you're going to give birth. You're going to have family. You're going to have kids. And short story, we have salvation through her. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has to do with all that from the beginning. Her curse, it was not so much of a curse, but it was a blessing to us. Adam has to work and grow his own stuff, work the field, the earth. It was not a curse, it was a blessing. Because if he would have gone, if God would not want to, would have not kicked them out from the garden, they would have reached out to the tree and be in there forever. So for God throw them out of the garden, he knew what he was doing. He was not just being mean. You out of here. You know, you disobey my commandments, and when I give you everything, and you didn't need anything. So God covered them by doing that. Also, he make tunics, clothes, leather, by killing, sacrificing animals to cover their nakedness. So even from the beginning, God did what he had to do and show the mercy, love that he has for us. And in these days, what happened? He did it again by sending his son and be sacrificed as a lamb for our sins. So he covered us again. But at this time, and I said it once, I said it again, this time he is putting the cards on the table. You decide. Now he's giving you the choice to be with him or to be in the lake of fire. And so one of the, I don't think I have time, but one of the things that if you want to know more about Genesis and the Book of Mormon and Alma chapter 9 and chapter 19, you get the right answer. It's really cool when you start reading those two chapters, and explains to you exactly why is it that God throw them out of the garden. He explains why exactly and why he did it. Genesis 3:22-24, and the Lord God say, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil, and now let us put forth his hand and lest they, he put his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden and tilled the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed it in the east of the garden of Eden, and put Eden and cherubims, and a flaming sword was which turned in every way to keep the man to keep the way of the tree alive. So God, he just threw them out, but he also closed the door to them, so they won't be able to come in. But that is the thing, and that is the reason he knew what he was doing. He was just not being a mean God. He loved them so much, and then he had to do that. And through time, we all know that it's for our own good. God told Eve that you will have pain and childbirth, which is a curse, but from her came salvation to the whole world. God told Aaron, with a sorrow you will eat of the days of your life. But there was a blessing that God prevent Aaron from eat of the tree of life and become miserable forever, and everything will be void. If you don't know, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's a verse in the Bible, 2 Thessalonians. So from the beginning, you have to work for your own good. You know, that's one of the things that amazed me from the Book of Mormon, that it teaches too, that not just you think you're going to go outside and preach the gospel and eat of it. You have to work for you, sustain, no matter what. For even when we work with you, this we command you, that if you will not work, neither shall eat. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. So, it's not so much of a curse. It's more of a blessing. So, next time that you think that you're going through something really hard, just look at the cross and remember that somebody was crucified for you and I. And it was not easy for them. So don't take whatever you're going through so hard on yourself, but be more acknowledge of the things that has been done for you, even from the beginning. In Genesis 3:19, it still says, and the sweat of the face shall thou eat bread till thou return to the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for thou art, and into dust shall thou return. Remember that I say when she first took the bite of the apple, she was die spiritual, right there in the spot. When a baby, even now, when a baby now is born, it's already on the way to the sepulcher. As it's born, it's the beginning of his life. There's no escape. There's going to be death. Because from the ground you were taken, and to the ground you will return. And so what do we have? 50, 60 years of our lives? That's what we have to make things right with God. That's quite a few years. So I ask that you look into that, and if this has touched something in your heart and you haven't made that commandment, I pray that you look into that, and because the years go fast, and that you may find your way to God. And I can just tell you this, that only through Jesus Christ is our way back. But I do recommend you to read Alma 9 and 19 to understand better of my point. Thank you.